Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and this is brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds, which is family-owned and operated for over 60 years. Top quality jewelry at affordable prices, so stop paying too much at the chain stores and experience the Lordo's Diamonds difference. Mike and Jimmy Lordo, they're there every day in the heart of Ladue, and they're located at 9222 Clayton Road. LordosDiamonds.com, LordosDiamonds.com, and you can see their selection online. All right, we've got some news with John Gant throwing on the backfields along with Brett Cecil. We'll get into that with Derek Gould. And then we're going to break down the outfielders. We're going to go with left fielder Marcell Ozuna. We'll take a look at Dexter Fowler and also Harrison Bader in center. So that's a little bit of the news of the day. We'll break it down with Derek Gould coming up of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And also want to remind you, every Monday through Friday, every day throughout the baseball season, we will do this with Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. So if you want this to drop on your favorite device, it comes up on your phone, your iPad, whatever the case may be, it's right there. And you get the news of the day, what's happening at spring training, some of the roster moves, the different things that's happening on the backfields. But you love Cardinal baseball, that's what you get. You get it right here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
As St. Louis looks forward to celebrating Easter, remember that Schnucks has everything you need for your big Easter meal. Schnucks carries Frick's Hams, a fifth-generation family-owned company from Washington, Missouri. Their hams are the best, and most of their pork comes from Midwest farms in Missouri, Illinois, and Iowa. This Easter, think Schnucks for hams, great sides, desserts, candy, and everything that goes along with it. Don't forget about the Schnucks Rewards app. Get everything for Easter at Schnucks. Coming to you from the Lou Hughes Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a chance to visit with Derek Gould on this Thursday and some news here from Cardinals camp. And we'll start with what happened on the backfields, and that was John Gant pitching against hitters. And right now the fifth starter for the Cardinals is still undecided, Derek, as we have now what will be just 2 weeks from today, the opener of the season. And it could be John Gant, might be Dakota Hudson. I'm leaning towards Dakota Hudson, the way things have kind of transpired. But let's go back to Gant. You saw that. What happened on the backfields?
He got through two innings. He got through two innings of work. Just kind of, I mean, he said, I talked to him afterwards, he said he treated it like a competition. He wanted to, whatever, you know, as if it were in a full bowl stadium and, you know, against other major league teams. And he was just trying to go out there and judge his pitches based on that. It was quick. You know, he was in and out. You know, one hard hit ball that Adolis Garcia hit was caught for a line drive by the second baseman. And then the second inning of work, it was over real quickly. It was an efficient, no walks, lots of strikes, lots of testing the hitters. Lots of building his pitch count. This is a curious kind of assignment because it just puts a wrinkle in his usual program in the sense that he only threw one inning 2 days ago, then throws these two quote-unquote innings today in order to kind of build an aggregate pitch count, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So that a few days from now he'll be ready to go 80 pitches, and then when they leave he'll be ready to go 100.
So where do you think it stands right now, that fifth starter between Gant and Dakota Hudson? I'm assuming it's those two.
It is narrowed down to those two. I think you read the assignments. You know, always read the assignments, right? Who's starting the games and who's working on the backfields? Who do they want to see more of against the better hitters, which you're starting to see now in spring, and who are they getting in his work? I mean, read the assignments. I think what they're doing is they're prepping John Gant if Dakota Hudson falters.
When you look at guys that are out of options, so Gant would be one, Mike Myers is another, and then the lefty, Chase and Shreve, all out of options. Do you see all three making this team?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and with the guys that do have options, like a Brebbia and a Leon, that have all two of them, they have options but yet have pitched at a major league quality that on most teams would make most teams. Do you see those guys making this team?
I think that's like a sneaky competition that's going on right now is the Brebbia-Leon duel, because it really is. If Reyes is in the bullpen, which, I mean, they're going to have that discussion, and we'll see if it turns into an argument. But, you know, if he's in the bullpen, then one of those guys is likely to go. And how do you make that decision? Because, you know, let's be honest, it's baseball, right? And baseball is part business. And so Brebbia not only has to outpitch Leon, he has to outpitch the investment in Leon. And, you know, can he do that? Yeah, absolutely. That strikeout rate is impressive. You know, his ability to work multiple innings is impressive. But you also have the fact that Leon, not too long ago, was the guy that they were getting ready to close for them. And, you know, he's pitched well. So who separates from who?
The other thing, too, that makes this interesting, when you have what we always talk about, that I-55 between Memphis and St. Louis for a guy like Brebbia or Leon or others, the rule changes that came out today with Major League Baseball, and that's something that could be a little bit different when you think about the 10 days of being down or the 15. It's now going to be 15, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, it starts later.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't start right away. So you have,
but I mean, just in the future, when talk about
in
that.
In the future, it'll be different, and how these guys are used will be different, kinda. I want to take a moment to kind of read through those rules, because, you know, and on first pass, Dan, I was reading that three batter minimum rule, and it seems like a rule to stop what the Brewers did by starting a lefty to face Matt Carpenter.
Yeah,
not a rule to stop the pitching changes later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, but why not just do that? Just say, you know, the first pitcher of the game has to face
three batters, right?
You know, unless there's an injury.
I did like the fact that rosters in September would be
about time
28.
You know that I've been a strong advocate for that for a long time.
We've talked about that multiple times. Yeah. I did like
the healthy scratch, which is where we should get to.
Yeah, I did like the fact that a trade deadline is an actual trade deadline.
Are you like that?
You know, and waivers, see ya. The waiver deals are done. It's a trade deadline, and it's over.
Yeah.
You know, so it puts an onus on that.
It's not later.
A little bit, but
I'm
shocked
it's two-thirds of the way through the season.
Put pressure on teams to make deals or not. It makes it really interesting.
I would argue that it'll leave them all vapor locked because they don't know really if they're in contention or not for the next two. I will add this to
maybe
for
we'll
the
see.
Next 2 months. Well, or it's just going to make the teardowns that much more dramatic.
That's another thing.
You know, and so
absolutely.
you have 2 months of teams who are AAA teams, and that's going to tilt races, that's going to tilt the standings. I worry that it's not enough time, because you think about it, like our friend Mike Claiborne, right, talks about don't look at the standings until Flag Day.
Right.
Right, don't look at the standings until Flag Day. Oh, and 6 weeks later, make your call as to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's too short of a time, and it's going to lead to, it's going to lead to more extremism at the bottom end and little action at the top third. And that to me could have a chilling effect on one of two things. It could either have a chilling effect on the trade deadline because no one knows which end is up, or it could have a chilling effect on crowds after July 31st. Because
is something to think about, for sure.
If you're the Marlins,
who's going to the games?
Tear down, who's going to the games? Now, the argument is who's going
to the games
anyway.
Right.
But you know what? Baltimore, right?
Sure.
Who's going to go to these games? Because, you know, you're going to see AAA
That was the
players.
One aspect I did think about, yes.
That bothers me a little bit, or concerns me a little bit. The other part of this is, and I was just talking to John Mozeliak about this, and you'll get him with Mondays with Mo.
That's correct. And nice plug. Thank you.
You're welcome. He can tell you how wrong I am. But, you know, one of the places that a team like the Cardinals have made successful moves is via waivers, because the Cardinals have been willing to take on salary that gets through waivers. The Cardinals have not in the last few years have made significant July deadline moves. They traded away Tommy Pham.
Right.
That's like the most significant move, right? They traded away Luke Voit. So the best players that they've moved in the trade deadline here recently have gone to the other teams.
Right.
But the Cardinals have done okay via waivers in that August period because they're willing to take on salary. And you think back to like some of the moves that they've made there. I mean, obviously, you dial it all the way back into the Wayback Machine, you go Larry Walker. But there have been other moves that they've made in August that are helpful.
Sure.
So I think it really puts the emphasis stronger where it already was. What is this team going to do at the trade deadline? How is it going to improve itself on July 31st? Because you know what? After that day, there's no tomorrow.
Let's very quickly go through the three, what we would project as the three starting outfielders. It's one of the most commonly asked questions that we get. There's no doubt about that. So we'll start with Marcell Ozuna. How would you describe the camp thus far for Marcell Ozuna?
I think it's been a focus on fitness and health and sort of a search for the timing that comes and the strength and confidence that comes once he has fitness and health. He's a guy who came in trying to get that shoulder right, trying to get that throwing mechanic right, trying to show off the health, and to be frank, trying to get trust in it. I think we've seen that a few times in drills where he lapses into, you know, throws that would protect the arm that he no longer needs to protect. He can unleash it. Offensively, he's been searching. You know, he had to work on his conditioning, work on his strength coming into camp. He's done some of that. He's done most of that. He's got time left here. But I think they want to see more timing at the plate, more production at the plate, more of the savage, you know, right-handed hitter that they expect from him, you know, so that he can just let his game loose. That's the one thing. I'm not sure we've really seen him let his game loose yet, and that'll probably come. I'm not sure that'll come during spring training, but they certainly want that to come by, you know, opening day and afterwards.
A reminder that Blues fans are invited to join the party all season long at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill as the Blues season is heading down the stretch, and you can see Blues action at Hotshots and their 11 area locations, and also check out St. Louis Cardinals baseball on Fox Sports Midwest. The Blues action, they have the Bud Family Beer Specials, the $4 Jack Daniel Cocktails, $5.99 Blue Sampler Appetizer, and the $4 Blue Note Bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread Cocktail for $5 this season at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. Get more information, find a Hotshots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Hotshots, proud partner of the St. Louis Blues, your home for all the games all the time since 1990. A reminder, Hair Salon for Men, their home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. I go there, take both my boys there. The reason why, Hair Salon keeps client notes on each customer. So on each visit, you can be assured they know what you want. They'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all of that for just $22. And for an extra $5, stress relieving scalp massage or neck shave. That's all at Hair Salon for Men. How about the other corner outfield spot? And that would be Dexter Fowler.
So Dexter Fowler has, I think, had a reassuring, confident building camp and a good camp, you know, especially defensively. He's moving well. He's had some awkward plays out there. And, you know, there have been a couple times I think you've had some TV games.
Yeah.
One of the first ball that he got was one of those that just carried.
Came in, forever, went right over his head.
Went right over his head. Then he had another play on the road where he played the carom, but the wall was wonky. It wasn't padded. It was hard. And so there have been moments like that where you go, oh, wait, how does this look? But I think overall he's moved well in the field. I think he's moved better in right field this spring than any time we saw him last, you know, spring or last season. I think he's got his legs under him. I think you see that on the bases. I think you see that running down line drives. Offensively, I think he is building that timing and that sense. And, you know, one of the things that they are tracking with him, well, they track it with all the guys, but one of the things that they're offering him as opposed to his batting average or how many hits he has this spring or how many extra bases is what his exit velocity
right.
is. And his exit velocity this spring, its average is already higher than any he had last season.
I think Mike Schilt told us, what, 10 times higher, right?
So,
or 10, what, how do they measure it? It's
10 times he's been higher than his
correct.
Highest.
But, right.
But the number, like an example, is like he had a line drive at 101 to center field. It was an out, but it was a line drive at 101. And he's had exit velocity at a higher degree, at a higher rate, and a higher average than he had at any point in time last year when it just looked like it looked like he was using a bat 2 ounces too heavy
sure.
at times. And we haven't seen that. We've seen more of the whip. And I think he's had that kind of personality bounce too that everybody talks about that you can tell. There are players that wear how they're feeling on their sleeves. And, you know, he's that kind of player.
How about, finally, we'll wrap it up with this, Harrison Bader.
Harrison Bader, center fielder, superstar in the making, according to the Cardinals, right? They've really identified the brand of Bader, right? I mean, I think that's something that you could speak to better than me, but guy who, you know, elite defensive player, has plus-plus speed. Talked to Mike Shildt today. He called him a five-tool player. It was interesting watching Ozuna go through his throwing program the other day because Harrison Bader used it as an opportunity to be a showcase for how excellent his arm is. He's got to have the best outfield arm in camp, right?
Oh, I would say so for sure.
I mean, he and Garcia, right? Yeah. Well, Adolis isn't in the big league camp anymore, but those two. Bader has a good arm. I think offensively, you're looking for a guy, or the Cardinals are looking for a guy who is still really identifying himself, really defining himself. He's not going to be a guy who's going to go out there and slug moonshots like Tyler O'Neill. He's not a guy who's going to go out there and work, you know, walks like Dexter Fowler. He's got to find somewhere in between. One of his hits this spring has been an infield hit. If he can be a contact guy with speed batting in the eighth spot, that'd be high value for the Cardinals. That would be a high value. I think he's working in that direction. But speed and contact are really what could maximize the game. And then we'll see where it goes from there. Batting eighth, you know, take your walks, steal second, that kind of thing could be really valuable for him in the same way that it was for Colton Wong, who batted eighth, understood what that meant, what kind of pitches he was going to see, what to do, and then you saw him take off in the second half. I think something to watch with Harrison Bader has nothing to do with Harrison Bader. It's the production around him.
No doubt.
How good his glove is so good that he'll play in center field as long as he's flanked by production. If the guys around him struggle, then you might see the Cardinals have to make a different calculus and go with a little bit better bat, unless Harrison is that bat. But if he struggles offensively and the two guys around him struggle offensively to kind of tie this all up in a bow, you're going to see a different kind of decision there.
Great stuff. We'll talk about what should be a fun night pitching-wise tomorrow. Wainwright, Hicks, Miller, Reyes, all scheduled for the game at Roger Dean. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Dan.